today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
The aforementioned Dave Grohl actually brought out the singer Peter Cerci. I've seen a clip on YouTube of this at some Foo Fighters show, and he brought him out to sing on a Squirrel Bait song.
Hey there, it's Jim Lenihan here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I hope you are enjoying Punk Weeks. That's right, there are 2 weeks, and this begins week two with guest hosts Paul Hayden and Vasanth Ramamurthy. Today, the guys are going to talk about the place where they are from, the Midwest. They live in the Chicago suburbs, and they're going to talk today about Midwestern punk. All right, guys, take it away.
All right, so next, we're going to move into the 80s, the U.S. Midwest. And I'm going to start off with a band that I'm sure is well known, Husker Du. My pick was New Day Rising. This came out in 1985. And, things were cooking in Minneapolis in the early 80s. You had Husker Du, you had The Replacements, who both started out as punk bands, but the Mats eventually changed their sound. I'd say college rock, not to minimize it or anything, but they just went in a different direction. And Husker Du chose to, they continued to embrace melody, but they really upped the intensity. And I think New Day Rising is the album that finds them at that sweet intersection of noise and accessibility. I'm a little biased because I did get to see them play one only time, and it was on this tour where I think the album had just been released, because I remember them playing most of it, and I was familiar with most of it. But I describe it as a religious experience as well as another step towards tinnitus. It was deafeningly loud, and it was just... there was just one song bled into another, and there was no let up, and it was just for 60 minutes. It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
But whenever I start thinking too much about the bands I missed, I always remind myself, hey, you saw Husker Du, so
that's
all
awesome.
Is good. But this album is great, because it's kind of like Funhouse, where it just starts raving right out of the gate. Five rippers in a row, and then finally get to Catch Your Breath with Perfect Example. And then the rest of the album just kind of picks up that same pace. You get a little weirdness in there, the nine ways to skin a cat and
Yeah.
things, but the closer Plans I Make is kind of like U.S. Blues. It's just like, whoa, this is intense, and you definitely need to take to lay down on the couch after that. But
Yeah.
I think these guys, Bob Bolt's guitar, Grant Hart's drumming, Greg Norton's very nimble bass playing. I think they really raised the bar for punk rock in the 80s. And I even remember some reading in some fanzines that some band member wrote in after they, I think it might have been Maximum Rock and Roll, and they reviewed his band's album, and they said it was, they just kind of gave it a mediocre review, and the band member wrote in and say, hey, we can't all be, Husker Du. We gotta give us a break here. So that's my choice, Husker Du, New Day Rising.
Yeah, that's so cool you got to see him. I mean, Husker Du literally would be in my top three favorite bands of all time. So, no argument for me here. Although I would, if you ask me, I would pick Flip Your Wig as my favorite album of theirs, just because I think New Day Rising, few of the tracks at the end, which you mentioned, I would skip, like the How to Skin a Cat, and can't remember offhand one or two. I'm not that high on. So for me, the Flip Your Wig, besides the baby song, which we can both agree is skippable, but yeah, otherwise I think that one top to bottom is the pick for me. But yeah, I mean, there's really no arguing against New Day Rising. Yeah, this is one I got. Soon after starting college, I think 97, 98, because I read about it in that book that I mentioned. But yeah, so yeah, perfect, perfect album.
Right, what are you gonna force on this one? Sant, what's up next?
Okay, I am going to go with a band from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, called Die Kreuzen. The album's called Oktoberfeil. This was released in 1986 on Touch and Go Records. Die Kreuzen, I really only, I would say, I learned about them maybe in the past 10 years or so. So not one of my earliest discoveries, but one I'm happy I found, though, just working my way through like the Touch and Go catalog and stuff. But yeah, they start out as like a pure hardcore band. Like their first album is considered like one of the best hardcore albums of all time. People like Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth, ride hard for that one. But this one to me is a little bit more interesting, Oktoberfeil, because they moved away from that on this one. There are some definitely faster songs on here, but they incorporated things like acoustic guitar and like more catchier melodies. Like the song Cool Breeze has this acoustic guitar running through it. Took influence from post-punk bands, Cocteau Twins, and other things that were happening in the early 80s. To me, what struck me is because, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a big Soundgarden fan as well. And when I listened to this album, like whatever, 10 years ago or so, I was like, man, this, I can perfectly see where the early Soundgarden, at least like the first couple EPs and first album of Soundgarden, where they got their sound, because there's a song on here called There's a Place, which is very reminiscent of that early Soundgarden. Early Soundgarden was more sort of influenced by like Bauhaus and sort of Killing Joke, that sort of that strand of UK post-punk, rather than the later stuff, which is, you know, getting more into like, you know, Sabbath, Zeppelin, psychedelia, and things like that. But and then I was later, I was my hunch was proven to be correct, because the past couple of years has sort of been a Dekreutzen renewed interest in them, because there was a book that came out just last year, oral history sort of biography of them, called Don't Say Please, the story of Dekreutzen. And there's a bunch of people who were interviewed in that book. One of them is Kim Thayil from Soundgarden, and he does talk about how Dekreutzen was a big influence on Soundgarden. I mean, they're not too far apart in the timeline, because as I mentioned, this came out in 86, and you know, early Soundgarden is around that same time, 87 or so. So you know, it wasn't like too many years before, but like sort of, you know, they picked up on what was happening in the scene. Dekreutzen, yeah, they toured with Husker Du. Dekreutzen is very interesting, because later they would get even more sort of popular and accessible, moving into like an alt rock sound. They recorded their last two albums with Butch Vig, and they sort of broke up right when the time like that the alt rock explosion happened. And like in fact, 91, their final album, you know, Butch Vig worked on Nevermind, he worked on Smashing Pumpkins' Gish, and the last Dekreutzen album, like all in 1991. So they
Oh,
sort of
jeez.
missed that window just by a very short time, and they broke up after that. So kind of what could have been story there. But I mean, they'd already been a band for a long time at that point, you know, 8 or 9 years. So
Right.
yeah, October File by Dekreutzen is my choice for this Midwest punk section.
Yeah, the Midwest part of it, definitely. I can hear that. My history with them was, I do remember that first one, and it's I didn't I liked it at the time. I think I was kind of getting out of that hardcore thing then, but I can appreciate it for what it was. It was pretty relentless, and I don't know if I ever even got to October File, but when I listened to it, I'm like, this. It doesn't sound like it came out in 1986. It doesn't have that dated, you know, like some bands do. I made some notes, and it sounds like there's a little bit of metal, a little bit of post-punk, and I think a Midwestern thing is you just kind of, again, you're in the middle, so you don't have the coasts influencing you, so you just kind of go with what you know, and kind of like Seattle, this is like a very, just a very what I would call blue collar approach to making music. And it's interesting that they've got some relevance lately, because I nothing against them. It's not the kind of band you think that would have a book written about them, but kudos to whoever did that. I want to check that out. All right. My choice in the Midwest is Naked Raygun. This is their first full length. I think Basement Screams was an EP. This is Throb Throb, which came out in 1985. And I consider Naked Raygun to be part of the big three of Chicago punk, along with Big Black and the Effigies. I consider their sound to be kind of like industrial punk, just a big blue collar sound, rousing choruses, big guitars, thunderous drums, rumbling bass, and the lyrics are political, but at times satirical. To target, what they considered manly men and the sad state of America. One of the lyrics to their song, Only in America, is eat your own weight in salt, only in America. So they definitely saw the humor in things, and I think it was their lack of touring that prevented them from hitting it big, but they have influenced, for better or worse, Dave Grohl. That was his first concert. And to his credit, he I believe he had Naked Raygun play open for Foo Fighters at Wrigley Field
I was
recently.
there. I
Were
was there.
you? How was it? How
It was
was
a
it?
good 2020. I mean, just a dream lineup. This was like 2016, I think. So it was Naked Raygun, Urge Overkill, and Cheap Trick all opening for Foo
Oh my.
Fighters. Yeah, so
Hey.
the
Oh.
Chicago area Midwest dream.
Totally. I got to see Naked Raygun one time. I believe this was after John Haggerty, the guitarist, had left, and he was a big part of it. I think, looking back over my picks, there's a theme of really good guitar players, and he was a stable, like kind of like like Bones and Discharge and Rick Agnew, Lyle Pressler, and Minor Threat. They were able to just get this sound. I'm not a musician, so I don't know what to call it. It's just this powerful sound that they were able to conjure up on six strings. But it was still really good. And heard all the hits, Rat Patrol, Managua. I mean, there's a lot on there to enjoy. And I think that's kind of where they peaked. They put out several albums after that. But a couple years ago, or maybe it was longer, they reunited and put out a pretty solid album.
Oh yeah, that was a good album. I like that one.
Very, very good. No, not like just good, pretty good for a comeback. It was just really, really good. So anyway, that is my choice, my other choice from 80s US Midwest. Do you have anything else on your end,
Yeah,
Hassan?
no, I mean, I love Naked Raygun as well. I got into them when their stuff, there's a reissue campaign in like 1999 where all their stuff got put out on CD again by Quarterstick. So yeah, that's when I got on board. And we're both Chicago area guys, so I heard about them basically because the local music critics here, Jim DeRogatis and Greg Kot, were always repping Naked Ray Gun. So yeah, that's how I got on board. Yeah, I've been a fan ever since then.
All right, what's your next choice?
My pick is very much in line with Naked Ray Gun and Husker Du, because this band has had toured and played with them. And that is the Louisville band called Squirrel Bait. This is their self-titled EP, their first release. And really, they only have two releases, so small catalog to get into. But this is my pick. So again, they're from Louisville. They were very young when they started playing together, just teenagers. So they played around with Husker Du, Naked Ray Gun, Big Black as well. So they kind of, you know, did the Midwest drive up to Chicago and stuff, play with these bands. And Big Black got them, helped get them signed to Homestead Records, which is the big indie label of the time. Some of the members were Brid Walford, who later went on to Slint, more popular influential band, as well as Brian McMahon. And then the guitarist in Squirrel Bait was David Grubbs, who went on to Bastro, Gaster Del Sol, and others more sort of indie experimental bands as well. But this is where they all started out in Squirrel Bait. Squirrel Bait is punk pop, sort of. I shouldn't call it punk pop, but like, it is very melodic in the vein of Naked Ray Gun and Husker Du. The difference, I think, is the vocalist. Peter Searcy has a very impassioned, sort of a rough, throatier voice, kind of like Paul Westerberg. Kind of in line with like the early emo sound, I guess, just because the way he sings, sort of emotionally, and so they're a influence on that kind of stuff. The aforementioned Dave Grohl actually brought out the singer Peter Searcy. I've seen a clip on YouTube of this at some Foo Fighters show, and he brought him out to sing on a Squirrel Bait song. So he's definitely a fan as well. But yeah, like, if you like, you know, sort of a more tighter version of like the early Replacements where they were more punk, you like that kind of soulful vocal style, but like really good, you know, riffs and guitar playing and sort of that sort of soul and melody in there, definitely check out this the Squirrel Bait self-titled EP.
Yeah, that's a great description, the early Replacements sound, because yeah, I remember when this came out, it was, first I have to mention it, one of the greatest album covers with the kid with the Walkman in his mouth. It's just classic.
I believe Steve Albini was involved in that. He either took the picture or had the idea for it.
Okay. Yeah. It was definitely, it was one of those when I heard it, you couldn't say who it sounded like, because it was definitely a new sound. It was clearly a mixture of influences that hadn't been put to, you know, hadn't been recorded yet. And then you talk about where all these guys went after that, and it's like, wow, this is a pretty impressive. And like you said, a really easy discography to discover. So by all means, you know, run, don't walk to the Squirrel Bait discography.
Yeah.
Vasant, do you have any honorable mentions for 80s US Midwest?
I just wanted to mention the Zero Boys as well. So we covered Milwaukee, we covered Minneapolis, Chicago, Louisville, but we should give some credit to Indianapolis as well, with the Zero Boys. The album's called Vicious Circle. Paul Mahern is the main figure in that band, and they're actually still active now, not with the same members as when they first started, but they're still going. There are a handful of punk bands that have been in the state of Indiana, so we should give some credit to Zero Boys for sort of establishing that scene as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I recall a couple albums of theirs. Vicious Circle was one. The other I cannot bring up to my memory bank at the moment, but I believe there was a reissue program. It's probably 10 years ago, maybe, where they reissued this one and then something else in that. Between the two of them, you pretty much have them covered. Just great. I think another band, kind of like, in terms of sound, probably like the Adolescents, in that they, or maybe a more poppier Adolescence, where they did the fast and the slow, like they had both sides covered, and they were really, really good. And Paul Mahern, for sure, someone that should be mentioned and acknowledged as an important part of that scene, because even though that Chicago's close to Indiana, he established their own scene there, which is great. Now, Zero Boys were very important and still sound good today, so go check them out.
All right, and that was part six of the punk series. Tomorrow, the guys are going to talk about other American punk from other regions they have not yet discussed. We'll call it miscellaneous American punk. All right, it's Rockin' the Suburbs, and they'll talk to you tomorrow.